You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
We're going to begin today. I want everyone to get yourself comfortable as we get into this thing today. Amen. All right. Make sure you have your Bibles, your writing material, and make sure you're sitting next to somebody that you can throw an elbow if you need to, not at them. Okay, I'm watching you, CG. Don't throw it at them, okay? But make sure you have some elbow room in case God is speaking to you and you want to, you know, get a good shout or something. Make sure you have some good elbow room that you can, your hand can stretch out, you know, hit somebody. Unless you're sitting next to someone you don't like, then this is your excuse to be able to do it today. Amen. I'm just getting it out there. Well, if you want me louder, you have to talk to the audio booth because I'm just talking regularly. So you got to talk to audio on that one. We're going to get into the power of a particular word, and this word is, it goes hand in hand with another word. So we're going to talk about, you can cut me down, you're getting a little crazy with that volume, sir. The power of one word, that word is yes. There is a power in the word yes. And that word is synonymous with another word. So, Darrell, you cut me up just a little bit because I'm sure I'm going to be at this tone most of the day, but you never know. God may speak to me and then my volume goes up because I'm screaming and hollering. Okay, so I think that's good. Don't touch anything else right there. Take your hands off like the food competitions when they say time is up. You gotta put your hands up there. So there is power in that word. And so it's very important that you understand that there's power in the word yes, because the word is also synonymous with another word we'll talk about today, and that other word is faith. Yes and faith goes hand in hand. And so this is why when you give somebody a yes, when you say yes to somebody, faith kicks in, and then you feel obligated to believe in what you said. And so when you said yes to someone, now faith kicks in. Now you have faith in that thing. Whatever you said yes to, you have faith in that thing to believe that that thing can come true, even when other things continually keep happening to show you that that thing is not coming to pass. You're still having faith in that thing. Why? Because the power of yes. So it's very important that we understand what we should and should not give a yes to. Amen. There are things you should never say yes to, because when you say yes to that, you are assigning yourself in a faith level to that thing that may not be good for you. We're going to get right into the Trinity represents three. The Trinity represents three. The Trinity represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's also the Trinity. So there are some who don't believe in the Trinity. At Breakthrough Assembly, we do believe in the Trinity. We don't believe that that they are three different beings separated with three different mindsets and those things. It's three attributes in one. So therefore, if you said there were three, then there would have been less power in heaven when Jesus was here on the earth. Because when Jesus came on the earth, Jesus operated as the Word manifested in flesh. Okay, now it was manifested in flesh because you have to understand that you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, the Son was down here at the time representing the Word. If that was the case, if there was three individuals, that means that there was, again, less power in heaven. Jesus represented the Word, but he also had, because he's in the Trinity, he had the Holy Spirit in him as he operated. Okay, so you have to understand, so when he was able to speak to things and those things were able to be done, he spoke the same word here on earth as he did in heaven. The reason that Jesus was able to create things on earth that wasn't there, because he was able to do the same thing when he was in heaven, all he did was speak a word. The reason that he was able to say things and tell people to be healed and they were healed, because he spoke his word, not a word, his word. His word is where the power resides. And so you have to understand that when the Father spoke or when the Son spoke, it was, period. And so there, the same power that was in heaven was walking on earth. It wasn't all of a sudden there was no power in heaven. And this is why Jesus also, when he spoke about the Father, he looked up and he told us to make sure that we understand that the power comes from the Father. But they were all connected. The only time there was a lack of connection is when the Word that was in human form took on sin. Okay, there's no godly creation that can happen when sin is present. So you have to understand that sin is that thing that could take us away from the power of the Word. Are you getting that?
Yes.
All right, so I want us to understand that, because there's so many, and I understand the real reason why there's so many denominations believing so many things, because the enemy knows there's power in unity. Yes. So if he can get people saying, I believe in Jesus, but everybody believing in all these different things, the power is diluted. Because everyone wants to be separate and hold their own little piece of the Word. You're getting this. So the Trinity. Trinity represents three. The number three means Godhead. Trinity, the number three means Godhead. So the head of that thing is God. At the beginning of that thing is God, Godhead. He is above in the Trinity. Now, the Word of God became Jesus in the flesh, and through him became the creation of the Word, and the act of yes. The true first true act of yes is when Jesus said yes to the assignment of coming down on earth and living for 33 years. That was the first dynamic yes. You have to understand something. Adam gave no dynamic yes. God just breathed into him. Adam just was. So Adam represents us as human beings. We were just breathed in and we just became, okay? It wasn't that we knocked on our mama's womb and said, hey, can I borrow you for a minute? God had intention with us, breathed into Adam, and then man existed. Okay, so you understand that. Jesus gave a yes to that assignment, and that assignment was, yes, I will die on the cross for you. The assignment was, I will live out 33 years for the assignment and the power of yes. Jesus needed to give us and show us a yes so that we would know how to give and show a yes. Jesus had and chose to sacrifice for us through his yes, so that we would learn how to sacrifice through our yes.
Yeah.
Are you getting this?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. It's very important. This is why you can't keep throwing out that word to everything and everyone. And just because you have the ability to do it doesn't mean you should give a yes to that thing. It's very, very important. Just because you're capable of doing it doesn't mean you should give a yes to that thing. So many people don't understand that. And so many people dilute the power of the assignment that God has given you because you gave a yes to something that you were just capable of doing. I say that and I want to dwell that into your brain, because so many times we feel as human beings pressured to give a yes, specifically when they know we're capable of doing that thing. What happens when God gives you the ability to do something, but he had an anointing on you to do something with power later, but now you're just doing it with ability? There is a big difference between doing something with ability and doing something with the power of God. The ability moves emotions. The power of God moves spirits. And God created us not to move emotions, or we'd just be a court jester. Those that read the Bible know what a court jester is. That was a person that was hired for entertainment purposes. They were hired to entertain the king. They were entertainers only. And unfortunately, in the United States, there are a lot of entertaining churches. There are a lot of praise teams that's not there to move the spirit, but move the crowd. There are a lot of pastors that's not hired by the church to move spirits. They're hired to move emotions. Are you getting what I'm saying? So prerequisites of some pastors is that they have to be able to sing in different keys. They have to be able to move, and then they get voted in based on the popularity of the board members. And so when the board is pleased, if the board believes that the pastor can move enough emotions, that enough pocketbooks will be moved, that the seats will be filled, then they pass the test. So you have to understand there is a difference. So I'm saying this so that you will have the opportunity to think about yourself and recognize the gifts and talents, let me say, that God gave you. That are you using them to move people, or are you moving them to move spirits? Because if you're moving them to move spirits, you wouldn't give everybody a yes. Your yes would be selective. Yeah. Even in your attendance, your yes would be selective. You pray, Lord, is this an assignment you want me to be on? Not, is this an experience you want me to partake in? I got to take my time on this one because it's very important for me to drill this home for us, because this is the year of vision. If your sight isn't changing now, I don't know if it's going to change later on as the months come, because this is the heat time. Okay, fall is next. Things fall off. Things stop growing. Colors change. Things begin to shut down. If you're not seeing things the way God wants to see, where things are the brightest and last the longest, if you still wake up with a no in your heart for God, but yes in your heart for the world, I don't know if you're going to be able to have the vision of God. How can you have a yes for the world and a no for God when God created you to help save the world? So there's power in that word yes. This is why the enemy constantly tries to drill things into our minds and hearts to get us to say yes to the things of the world. Okay, again, I am not anti-church. I pastor one. Okay, so I am not anti-church, but I am anti the growing of the world and the lessening of the body of Christ. There are more churches closing now than at any rate ever before. There are more people now leaving the gospel of Jesus Christ and going to the interpretation of their enjoyment. There are more people now fulfilling the word of God that they are running with their itchy ears, and they are running after things that sounds right to them. There are more organizations, and now this word deconstruct is so prevalent now, that now people are deconstructing from the Christian faith, meaning that they are breaking away from that because they have agreed that that's something that's been forced upon us. And so now people are rising up, spirits are rising up and saying, anything that you told me I had to do when I was born, I don't want that. And I want to create my own idea of what is right. You know what they did? They gave that a yes. And their faith is connected to that. See, faith exists everywhere. It's what you believe in. Because if you don't believe in God, it's what do you believe in? And so when you start speaking about those things, that's where your faith lies. Yeah. What we don't understand as man is you can't cancel. This is a cancel. We live in a cancel culture. You say anything, you're canceled. But man can't cancel faith. Man can walk away from it, but they can't cancel it. You cannot cancel the creator that created you. We believe in this society that we can cancel God like we can cancel a television show. God is. He is. Did you hear what I said? He is. He is when you don't want him. He is when you didn't want him. He is and was when you rejected him. Do I have any God rejectors in this house that you have rejected him before?
Yes.
He's just a real. I mean, I know it's been. I know it's been. Oh, I don't want to hear you say yes. Let me see an arm or something. How many people in here rejected God at one point in your life? I rejected him for years. And the problem with me is I rejected him when I believed in him. See, I believed he was real and still rejected him. You know the story of me when I was a little boy, 5 years old, walking to school. And I heard the voice of God tell me I'd never be alone. I knew that was God. Nobody else was on the street. I was five. I knew what I heard. I knew that was not a human voice. And I looked around. There was nobody around me. I knew it was a voice that was different. I knew it was a voice that had a different characteristic than anybody. I knew it wasn't one of my drunk uncles. I had a lot of them at that time. I knew it wasn't anything like that. I knew it was God. And yet and still, as I got older, I rejected him. Why? Because I had a belief in my faith of what I wanted. And that God didn't represent the fun that I wanted to have. So instead of giving God a yes, I gave the devil a yes. Because there's power in yes. And I had faith in the fun that the devil would bring me. Oh. You guys been living in the suburbs way too long. Because you're all sadiddy. With your little yes. There's some people that you're not as civilized as you want the world to think you are. And you know what I'm talking about, that you gave the devil many yeses, and you lived according to the law of the world and the devil for a long, long time. There's power in that word yes. When you give yes to that, you say yes to the assignment. And the thing that's even worse is when you've had a connection with God, walked away from God, you feel the pull of God, but yet you won't resist. I mean, you won't the word left my mind, but you won't give in to it. You feel the, there's nothing worse than when you've been in the presence of God before. You know that was God. God moved. You knew that was God. You knew that was not a humanistic thing moving. You knew what you heard. Nobody else was speaking, and you hear things being said on the inside of you, and you still walked away from it and did what you wanted to do. There is no, the Bible says there is no condemnation to those that's in Christ Jesus, meaning there's no guilt to those that's in him. But there is guilt of people when you were with him, but you're not in him. There is guilt. And there's nothing worse than when you plan a sinful assignment, do it, and can't enjoy it the way that you planned it out in your head because of the guilt that you've had. Man, if I had a church that actually have lived, I wish some of y'all would act like you know what I'm talking about, your phony fried bologna sandwiches. I could eat a good fried bologna sandwich right about now. Whatever stays, whatever stays. Crispy on the edge, just yeah, crispy, little burnt, just a little burnt. Just a little. Yeah, I am hungry. So, yeah, I am hungry. Numbers are significant, and so is the design of God. Numbers are significant, and so is the design of God. The design of God is significant. Okay, you freezing over there? Okay, you can cut it. You can cut it off now. I'm gonna freeze you to death. All right, you look so sad in the corner, like you're in trouble. We talk about the number three in the Trinity. There was a earthly Trinity as well. Number one, the first one was Adam. Adam for the world, hear me, don't at me. For the world, Adam was the creator. For the world, he was the creator. God matched the world system to his heavenly system so that the dominion could take place of what God gave us. There had to be for the system to be successful, he took his heavenly system and he placed it on earth. And he said, okay, I'm going to have the same system operating here. So he had to have a creator. That creator was Adam. Adam named the animals. He named all of the things. Okay. He also named women. He named Eve and said, this species will be called woman. Okay. Why? Anybody know? Just say it.
She was taken out of his side.
There it is. Thank you. Because she came from him. Okay. So that's the first creator. That's the creator. The second part of the Trinity was John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he was the one that brought a deliverance to the people through. There it is, Ron. Through baptism. He was the one that introduced us to the purification of being purified with water. Okay, so that's the second attribute. You had to have somebody naming things, naming the creation, so that they can have their identity and understand what they were. Okay, that was who? No, that was Adam. Work with me, Jesus. That was that. So then you had the one introducing you to another aspect of the being of purification and baptism, which was John the Baptist. Then the third one who represented the deliverer was Jesus. You have to understand, Jesus, he captured the last part of that as the deliverer, being able to deliver us through our sins. So we had to have somebody bring in the creation. We had to have someone bringing us to the baptism of God and having a place that we would go into that to represent the dipping of that water that will represent I'm going in one way. And when I come out, my intention is to come out a different person. And so we understand when we do our baptisms here at Breakthrough and we talk about it, we want everybody to understand what that means to be baptized. It doesn't mean to just get washed. It means it is the identification that I'm going into that dirty. And when I come out, I'm clean before the Lord. He's cleansed my sins. I'm rededicating myself unto him. And I have no intention to bring any of that dirt that was on me, that sinful dirt. I intend to leave it in the water.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's earthly Trinity. Now, when you say yes to the word of God, who was Jesus in the flesh, you are saying yes to God. When you say yes, what did you say, Pastor? I'll say it again. When you say yes to the word of God, who was Jesus in the flesh, you are saying yes to God. Anytime you say yes, you read this Bible and you say amen, yes, you're saying yes to God. Anytime Jesus is speaking and the word of God is going forth and you give God a yes through his verbal word, you're saying yes to God. Anytime you say yes to God, you're saying, yes, Lord, I have belief and faith in that thing. I believe that that thing is true. I believe that that thing will happen. And in order to have the ability to have the patience, you have to have the faith. Without faith, even though the Bible says it's impossible to please God, without faith, it's impossible to have the endurance to hold on to the word of God and also the promise of God. You cannot wait on what God said without faith and patience. Because when one of them cuts off, the path cuts off. Because you can't see it anymore. You can't see what God said without faith, and you certainly can't see what God said without patience. Those that say, I love God, but I don't understand God. You say, I don't understand God. What you're really saying is, I can't relate to God. Yeah. And what do I say to you relating to God? Well, to relate to God, you have to understand two things, who he is and who you are. The issue that we have is when we try to relate to God, we try to relate to God as someone that's on a level that we can be on. And you want to understand him like you understand humans. But you have to understand God is so much higher than the thing he created. That's like a child trying to figure out their parent when the child is 8 and the parent is in their 40s. How's that child? The 8-year-old can't understand the level of the decades that it takes to have the mindset. The child can't, they haven't gone through enough to even have the experience enough for the mind to be mature enough. And so we have to understand that with God, that when we try to understand him, wait a minute, you can't understand somebody that created it all, figured out everything, made everything sync up together. How can you understand that one? So instead of trying to understand it, relate to it by understanding that you are the one that was created by that one, living for that one, the child of that one, able to get things that that one has provided for you. And there's nothing that you can give him that he don't already have or can't get from somebody else. Because if you won't give God glory, somebody else will.
That's right.
If you won't praise him, someone else will. If you won't live for him, somebody else gave him a yes, and they'll do it. If you say no, God has already had many rams in the bush ready for their assignment for God. There are some people who wake up in the morning praying, saying, Lord, use me. There are some people who wish they had the gifts that you have. All they have is the faith. There are people who wish that they had the ability that you had. There are people, I've had so many people telling me that they wish they could play an instrument, or they wish they could sing, or they wish they could dance, or they wish they could do that because they feel like they're not being used properly, but they don't understand that the boots on the ground that they're doing is changing lives, not emotions. Because people, they look at the things that the gifts provide. They change emotions. God did not create us to change the emotions of man. He created us to change the outcome of man. Now, when you're young, you're like, well, I don't really care about my outcome later because I want to have fun now. Problem with that thing is only God knows when your time will be up. Only God knows. So we can't say that I will be young and I'll be able to grow up to an old age and at the old age give my life to God. And even if we did that, we still voided out the contract because God created us to change lives along the way. Yeah. When you're 8, you should be getting your 8-year-old friend saved. When you're when you're 8, you should be inviting your 8-year-old friends to church with you. When you're 10, the friends that you have, you should be introducing Christ to them. Every spectrum of your life, God should be included in that thing. Yeah. Every part of it. When you're teenagers, you should be changing the spectrum of the teenagers that are around you. Not saying, let me have my fun. And maybe one day, you know, I'll let them know secretly I loved Christ. When you say yes to this word of God that was Jesus in the flesh, you're saying yes to God. Then you then activate the power of yes on earth as well as heaven. There's an activation of yes. When you tell somebody, I will be there for you, there is a level of commitment that begins. When you say yes to God, there should be a level of commitment to him. When you say yes to someone, that means if someone else asks me the same thing, they must get a no, because I've already given my yes. What do you mean by that? If my wife asked me to go to the store at 5 o'clock and there's something waiting that she ordered, and at 5 o'clock, I need to get it. Well, if I said yes, don't worry, I will be there at 5 o'clock. My last meeting is at 4. I got plenty of time to get there at 5 o'clock. I am there. 5 o'clock, I'm there. Now my phone rang, and someone else said, Pastor, you know, unfortunately, you know, somebody said they were going to pick me up at 5 o'clock. Pastor, can you come get me at 5? Well, now I realize I've already given my yes. So now, is there a conflict? For me, no. Why is it a conflict? Why am I going to be like, y'all are trouble? Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to do what I already committed to. See, that's the problem with us. We're like, so what do I do? What? Turn, go back on my already word over there. And now you have peace. Now all of a sudden I got to tell you, sorry, something else just came up. I know I already told you that, but let me go ahead. No, I'm going to pray for you to something that God will use somebody else to get you. Because, you know, there's things called Uber and Lyft. There are other ways. See, this is the thing that we understand. Why do you think you're the only means for somebody?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't walk like that. I know I'm not your God. Yeah. So if I can't do it, if you believe in him, he'll make a way. Yeah. But the thing is, if you believe in him, because if I'm your only God, you're going to be disappointed in God. If you think I'm God, you're going to be disappointed in God, because there's going to be many times that you're going to get a no from me. This is the power of yes. But when you understand, when you've told God, Lord, you can have my life, guess what? Nobody else can. But that's a distinction when you haven't told God he can have your life. See how quiet it just got there? Oh, Lord. See, the thing that we have to understand is so many people who we say we love God haven't given him our life. We've given him seasons. Lord, I don't have any plans till August anyway. So, Lord, whatever you want me to do now, I'll go ahead and knock it out. But August come, Lord, you already know. Speaking of that, even parents. Parents will tell the church all the time, you can have me during this time, but during this season, sorry, you won't see me because that's for my kids. You're quiet, guy? We already put a down payment. And Pastor, so we have to be there. When did we decide that activities is more important than being in the presence of the Lord? See, this is the thing that will make you parents angry with me. Good that I don't care that you get mad. That's a good thing. Or I'd be a weak pastor. But when did we decide that
activities for our children is going to keep them away from church, but maybe they might be seen by someone in sports and picked up. So if I invest in them now, that investment, that return on that investment might come back to me. So I know y'all can't give me amens because right now I'm making y'all uncomfortable. But when only people that don't have kids can be okay with me right now. When did saying, so what message are we sending our kids? That doing that is more important than doing this. Because so when did we decide that playing baseball or football or basketball is swimming or soccer or hockey is more important than being with God when he says, I'm here? Because when the church door is open, the way I believe, God is saying, I'll be there. So why would I choose to be anywhere else but where God said he is? But why do I have that mindset? Because I've given God my yes. And there's power. Activation happened in my life. Things activated in my life when I gave God a yes. Not that weak yes, that yes unless something else comes better than what you're offering me, God. See, wife, this is what happens when you teach these messages and it's affecting their life and they don't know how to respond. So they just can't say nothing because they're in shock. See, how you got to have a word like this when you're talking about the year of vision. Because in order to see how God sees, you have to be able to be introduced to the one that's seeing that way. How do you think you're going to please God when God gets your maybe? Depending on what happens, I might be able to squeeze you in, Lord. When did we get to the point that, Lord, I already got another thing I got to do. So I'm going to be there for you, but my mind isn't really in the service because I got to leave at a certain time. So no matter what you're doing, I gotta have a hard stop at this time because I got to be on the road by that time. When did we give, Lord, it's just me and you today. When did we decide that it's, the silence don't bother me. I told you, I practice with the deer in my yard. So I practice. So I'm used to the, you know how the deer just, when I open my door and the deer do, I practice sometimes speaking to the deer. So when I come to church, I'm used to the looks you give me, especially the little baby does, you know, when they. And then I'm used to the mama's face. Like, what you about to say? Because that's the face they have. Like, are you about to try to mess with one of my babies? So I'm used to all of the deer faces. Okay. I'm used to the mannerisms of the deer. When the mamas, when they do this and say, that's the thing to say, don't take another step. I'm used to some of y'all when you say, Pastor, don't go any further than what you're going. So none, what your mannerisms don't bother me. But when did we decide, Lord, my yes is no longer a yes. It depends. When did God become less than God? Why is it that when trouble comes in our life and tears roll down, he is our favorite being? And we go in our Rolodex and we find every believer that we hope is still a believer. And we send them a mass text, pray for me because I need him. But what happens when you got a couple dollars in your pocket? And all of a sudden, you can go to a couple activities and still pay your bills. So why is it that we don't need him then? Why isn't it he's not as significant then? Why is it that when we are in trouble, we want to teach our children the power of God? But what happens when it's summertime and we've already planned five activities and our children don't hear anything about Jesus during the summertime? All they hear is vacation time. See, at Breakthrough Assembly, this is why this church can be trusted by God. Because we're not going to tell you what you want to hear. We're going to tell you what you need to know. And I challenge you as the pastor of this church, as the one that God is trusting to speak in this section of Willoughby, not to the left of me, not to the right of me. But I challenge you to take your yeses that you gave somebody else and give them back to God. Because some of us, God is not pleased with some of us. Because we gave God a yes, and now it's the Lord. It depends on how things go, because something else more fun or profitable might come. Lord, I will definitely go to church, but if that person called, Lord, I want to go on a date with them. Because I see we might have a future. How are you going to give God a no when you might have a future with them, but he is your future? Yeah. Or should be. Yeah. It's been set on earth, the same structure as heaven. That same earthly structure, that same earthly Trinity. And the thing is, no, we don't serve Adam as the creator, but there had to be one. To give identity. No, we don't serve John the Baptist, but there had to be one showing us and leading us to the water. Yes. And John the Baptist wasn't saying that the water was anointed.
Right.
He was saying that the water is going to help you with the anointed one.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, now I'm hot. Did you cut that back on? Can somebody cut it down? Come on, Teresa, you're right there. You're right there. Jesus. Why are you going to make her get up, take her arms back out of her shirt? That's just cold-blooded, Teresa. I thought you were better than that. There it is. I had to hear that sound. Hallelujah. It's important. It's important to understand. See, some of us, there's power in our yes, and there's some people that they know right now. There's people that they know. If they call you right now and say, I need you, you walk out of church right now. Oh, listen, don't have to be you. There's in the house, God wouldn't have me say it. Because they believe, because they know you have faith in them, they have faith in you. Yeah. And they know you'll walk away from your God because you've already showed them that you would. Wow. You've already proven it to them. They asked you to do something, you had already told them you saved. They asked you to do something that a saved person wouldn't do. You did it, so they're like, well, they can't be a saved until they say it. Then they said, well, let's go do this. You said, okay, now you done did that. Now they're like, wait a minute. So now I think they just go to church. So let's see if something else is going to happen during church hours and if they miss it or leave it. Oh, so they'll even leave that. So all your church stuff you said is diluted. So why in the world would they ever step foot in your church when you already showed them that you don't believe that there's power in it and there's no yes in you? How do you think God feels watching you keep walking away from him and walk towards other things? And yet you get on your knees and pray to him. Why would you believe that he would answer the prayers when you won't even stay there to finish prayer? Because you've dumped what you want, but you haven't stayed there on your knees to even hear what he has to say. I'm a different pastor. I don't like when y'all say it's good if you won't go to the good. You don't have to tell me it's good because I don't have an ego. Don't say it's good. You don't even have to say nothing. I'd rather you just eat it and let it digest and live it than to say something is good. Because when you say something good that you have no intention of doing, you're only making it worse for yourself. Because there's no flattery up here for me. It don't matter if you agree with it. My job is to give it. So what you do with it is up to you. I'm finally old enough in my life. I'm not chasing you down afterwards to say, did you get it? Now you're going to apply. You're going to do this. You understand? That's why I don't get on social media. That's why because I'd rather not hear you say it was good and then as soon as we leave, you show that something else was better. There's power in that word yes. Who have you given a yes to? And how do you honor your yeses? When's the last time you said no to something because it didn't reflect your relationship with God? When's the last time you said no to somebody because what they asked you to do was contrary to your walk with God? This isn't one of those messages that's going to get you running and screaming and shouting, but this is certainly one of those messages that's going to challenge you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet and make you make your own decision of whose report are you going to believe. It's going to make you decide if you want to deconstruct and walk away from this. It's going to make you decide if you really believe this or not. Because I want to ask you a question. Why do you think that when you take your last breath, live it. If you've given God a sometimey yes, that why do you think when you take your last breath and you meet him, he's going to say, you deserve to come in here and dwell with me when you wouldn't even dwell with him on earth? Why do we think that we can give God whatever we want to give him and expect that he's going to say, come in where the holy of holies are? When there was nothing about your life or walk that represented holy of holy on earth. We live in a society, and I'm about to close. We might get like 2 likes on YouTube for this one. Because this right here meets you right where you live. What happens? What do you think when God is giving us the opportunity to change lives for him on earth? If we don't care about changing lives for him on earth, why in the world would he invite us to live with him with all of the other lives that actually changed for him? We live in a society, in a time, that it's all about convenience and money. I'm doing this if it's convenient, or I'm doing it because I'm going to get money, or popularity. Convenience, money, or popularity. Those 3 things, all 3 of those are worldly. So if you're, everything you give a yes to is in one of those categories, I hate to tell you this, but you are worldly. I love you, and I mean it. I do love you. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. You're worldly. And worldly people won't have an invitation for the heavenly. Because you're bringing worldly concepts, worldly thoughts, worldly ideas into a place that's holy. This is why people run for itchy ears and run to the messages that's going to tell them that God loves you. Of course he loves us. That's basic. He loves you. And you're going to run to the churches that's going to tell you how to make that money. But that money won't be able to buy that heavenly ticket. I am so saddened, not angry, saddened by something that the world loves right now. I know I'm a different breed and I'm okay with it. But I'm saddened. I can't even imagine how God feels. Everybody is going after this phrase. Everybody wants to get the bag. The bag represents the money. Everybody said, get your bag. It saddens me when I hear pastors say that. Get your bag, get your bag. But you know what I don't hear? Get your salvation. Tell me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus was teaching you how to get the bag. Whatever you do, get the bag. So whatever you do, get the bag. So you're going to die with a bag on your chest, but you can't take the bag with you. Well, Judas, see, the problem is that was Judas. And the sad thing is Judas wanted the bag. Judas got the bag. But getting the bag, he took his life and still didn't make it into heaven. And he was with the Messiah. He was with him. Ate with him, spoke with him, drank with him, ministered with him, saw people's lives get changed, and he was getting the bag. Because he said yes to the power of the world. He desired worldly things. He thought that money would get him what he wanted. I always tell you, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will take you further. Your love for Christ won't be the same. Your desire to read the Bible won't be the same. Your desire to pray won't be the same. You'll pray for 1 second and you'll start yawning. You'll open the Bible for 30 seconds and your eyes will start watering. This thing right here is the best sleeping pill ever for the flesh. I can't tell you how many times I forced myself to read this. Because everything in me was like, come on, Blue Bloods are on. I love Blue Bloods. Back up off me. I love Blue Bloods. Lena Vega's like, yes, Blue Bloods, good. I love that woman. It's important to understand.
some of us, we're no longer enjoying our relationship with God. Not because God changed, but our yes changed. Our yes changed. He no longer owns our yes. We've given yes to other things. Now it's like it's not as fresh anymore as it used to be. Well, neither are you. Your relationship is diluted because you're diluted. Because it used to be God and God and God and God. And now you're like, but now I desire more things. Well, if those things keep you from God, that's where the power is. This world is more powerful than it's ever been. I have lived for 50 years. And I feel like it. I feel like I've lived for 5 decades. I can feel it. I don't feel 30. I don't feel 35. I know what it felt like then. You know, I was at a restaurant. Where was I at? I don't even know where I was. 50 years, man. And I saw this gate. And I was like, I can still jump over that. And I was looking at it. And I was like, please, I could jump over that thing. And first of all, back up off me, Rena. You don't know how I get down. You don't know. Ask the girls yesterday, you know, ask security, ask Zoe, you know, ask me, Joy, ask all the ones to sleep on the second row. Over my house yesterday, they thought that they were going to jump me. Okay, they did. CG wasn't around, you know, she'd have my back. Because if she was there, they would have been just getting thrown across the wall if they tried to attack her pastor. But they tried to jump me. That one right there, my security, she just looked at the slender build and thought, oh, he don't have it like he had it. She found out yesterday. First thing she said, Pastor, I didn't know you were that strong. I was like, I've been trying to tell y'all. I don't have to hit the gym to keep the weight, keep the power on. Okay, so I'll bust them up. They tried to jump me, grabbing my arms, grabbing my feet, trying to stretch me out. Pillow fight. That's why they lay it out there now. My point is, even though I didn't want to deal with none of them yesterday, I didn't know why they were in my face. This is my face. I didn't want to deal with them. But there was a yes that I gave God. The Lord, I want to show anybody around, even children, that you can still have fun. We can still be goofy. You know, when me and security go to the store, we get snacks and stuff. I want to show her at 13 that God is still cool, dope, whatever words that the new generation use, that this 50-year-old still got it, that you can still have fun with God, okay? And she could be 13 years old. She could have went anywhere. She just wanted to be with me, okay? Who said I wanted to be with her? She know I love her. She know I love her. But I wanted to show her that don't listen to the world telling you that the fun is in the streets. And that the fun is doing bad stuff. That she'll tell you she had fun with her pastor. See that smile? I tell you that. And that's what I want us to understand. That she and Zoe and me, Joy, had to see that God has all my yes. That's what he wants us. That he wants to know, will I get all of your yes back? He wants to know, will you ever give me the full yes again? Or will you give it to me for the first time? Now, I say this and I'm about to close. I'm really about to close. I'm not even going to read these scriptures that I have. Okay. Because I don't feel like I need to. I feel like I have done my part. There's a whole bunch of stuff here that I need to say. I'm not even going to go in those scriptures. Yeah, there's scriptures. So those is like, Pastor, I need some scriptures. Well, go read when you get home. I believe I've given you enough word and enough God to get this thing home. Yes, definitely that you own digest. And my job is to give you things to think about, and you make your own decisions. My job is not to force anything on you. We don't do that at Breakthrough. I just present what God wants you to. It's free. You know by now, if you've been here or visited, we believe in free will in this church. We believe in that. The day that we don't believe in free will, Breakthrough won't be the church that God created us to be. Yeah, right.
That's what makes it fun for me of our decisions for God based on our choices. We get to make a choice, yes or no. We get to tell God yes or no, and then we'll see what happens at the end. But what I want for this one, from the youngest to the oldest, I want you to think about today, to think about how you felt when certain things were said today. You may have to go back and watch this on YouTube and to really go over some things and analyze where you stand. I want to tell you, there's no judgment coming from up here in this pulpit. There's no judgment. You get to decide and do whatever you want to do. That's part of the free will, part of the beautiful, because God only wants us serving him if we want to, not we're forced to. Because then it's not a healthy relationship. You understand? There's power of yes. Now, let me say this that I have never heard another pastor say. You know, we're about to get ready for August. If these messages don't make you think to decide the person you're going to be, because at the end of the day, the outcome for these messages is for you to be able to get with to be with Christ at the end. If you're at a point that you're like, you know what, I don't want to hear what's being said at Breakthrough, I 100% advise you to find another church that's going to satisfy your ears. Life is short. Don't come to a place that you're going to be miserable here for attendance. Go to the place that's going to say what you want, and you can give them all the amens and do your thing. What we want here is for everyone to be able to say, I heard God. I was bothered with this, but that's what I needed. Or I didn't even think of that's what I was doing, but Pastor, the Lord was speaking to you through you to me in that area. If we can't hear something and make us uncomfortable, then that means we're too comfortable. If you can't hear something that's not biased and it comes to you and you don't get, we should all hear something and say, ooh, I thought I was better in that area. Or, man, I thought I stopped, or I thought nobody could see it. There's power in yes. And I don't want anybody here for the last few months of this year. If you're not going to do what God is saying, don't waste your time. Go to a church that they're gonna speak to the way you enjoy it. That's not a ding at all. But there's too many churches to go to for you to come to one and you're not going to do what God says, because this will never be an entertaining church. We laugh, we joke in this church, but it will never, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, it'll never be an entertaining church. It'll never speak to the emotions, because the emotions won't get us to heaven. It'll get us to judgment day, and that'll be the closest that we get to heaven. I don't want you to get close. This isn't horseshoe. I want you to get in. And I want God to be able to say, good job, dude. You told him everything I wanted to, and you weren't intimidated by the looks or silence. I don't know too many pastors that would say, hey, leave, go somewhere. But I am saying it. Because the only thing that moves me is your relationship with Christ. Are we getting this? Okay. As we wrap it up, if there's anybody that you were certainly rocked by the word today, I'm not gonna ask you to come up here, but if this word really rocked you to the core, really disturbed you on many levels, but it was a good disturbance, I'm willing to pray with you, but you got to get up where you are and acknowledge where you are. And I just want to stand in agreement that I will pray with you, that if you want to work to get those disturbances off of you and become everything that God has called you to be, if it's you and you recognize that your yes with God is nowhere near as strong as it was at one point, and you recognize that there's work to be done,
I will partner with you in praying with you, but you have to do the work. So if you're here and that's you, you can stand right now, and I will pray with you right now. But you got to have some boldness. You got to have boldness. You can't care what other people think. This has to be a personal thing, because at a certain point of our life, it has to be personal. You, at a certain point in your life, you can't care what somebody else thinks, because don't let somebody else get you away from the destiny. We're doing all of this for the destiny. Our Wednesdays and our Sundays, this is for the destiny. All of these Sundays that we get together, it's for the destiny. What's the destiny? Heaven. It's not for family reunions. It's not for potlucks. It's not for conferences. It's for heaven. Everything we're doing, everything I'm doing, I've dedicated my life to God for y'all's destiny. Not for the fun, because this is not fun. Delivering that message was not fun. Watching your facial expressions, what I'm saying, what God wants me to say, that was not fun. Me talking, knowing half, you're going to be like, is he talking to me? I don't even know what's going on in your life. No, God's talking to you. I'm not. I was with her all weekend. How do I know what you did? But he knows everything. And for some reason, he trusts me to say what he wants me to say. So I want to partner with you guys to stand it. But you guys got to do it. I can pray and partner, but you got to, you know the stuff. You know. You guys know. But I'm with you. I'm not against you. I'm right there with everyone standing. I'm telling you, I'm not even speaking on behalf of the church, because I can't tell you that the church is going to partner with prayer for you. I don't know their prayer life. I don't know, where, but I am partnering with those that are standing, and I will pray with you guys. I've taken my mental images of who's standing, and I am partnering with you. I'm not even going to assign my wife to it. If she want to pray, she can pray, but I'm going to do it. You going to pray? No, I'm asking, you going to pray for these people too? I'm joking. I know. Your face. I can tell you, like, y'all know what to say. I know. See, sometimes I can get it. See, too quick for you. See, she just tired. She been with all them kids all weekend. She exhausted. She don't. Okay. Those that's standing, can you put your hands up? Father, I am with each and every one that's standing. For camera purposes, I'm not going to even say your names, because I don't want the whole world in your business, because they don't need to know who's standing. This is between us and Jesus. And Father, as the shepherd of this house, I am partnering with them. That every yes that they gave to somebody or something that took them away from you, I pray for that to be reversed. I pray for the curse to be reversed. I pray for every yes that brought sin to them. I pray for the breaking of that curse, Lord God. I pray for every yes they gave an individual and that individual used that against them. I pray against it and I break it in the name of Jesus. For every yes they gave somebody and that person felt that they had power over them, I pray against that in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, Father, that their actions, Lord God, will represent you. I pray, Lord God, that their mindset will represent you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that their behavior will represent you, Lord God. Father, and we know, Lord God, we can't be in prayer all day long, Lord God, that we lose our jobs, Father God. We understand, Lord God, that there is work to be done, Lord God. But you said faith without works is dead, Lord God. So while we're doing even other things, we're believing that you gave us the ability to do those things. Father, I'm praying that they will take back, Lord God, the mindset of what they have to do and recognize that the things that you've called them to do, they'll do it. And you'll make room for things, Lord God, in their life, Lord God. You said in your word that you give us the power to attain wealth, Lord God. So I thank you, Lord God, that the people that's chasing wealth, Lord God, I pray a reversal of that they'll chase you, because you own everything. And as they chase you, you will give unto them, Lord God. I thank you
for a reversal. I pray, Lord God, a reversal of their mindset. You, Lord God, will get their true yes from now on. I thank you, Father. I thank you for, I feel something in the spirit realm that's happening right now. Somebody that's standing really means what they're saying. I don't know who you are, but somebody is touching heaven right now. And I hear God saying, if you continue to live the way you're standing right now, you'll be back to where you used to be when you loved me above everything. And that you knowing that I was with you was enough. So I thank you for all of them standing. And I stand in agreement with them. I pray for the power of them giving no's to things and people that they gave yeses to. And they won't crumble in the meanwhile. I thank you for their strength, their power. I thank you for their future dedication in you. I thank you for that power of yes that will be activated with you. We call it done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody that's just standing, stay standing for a minute. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna be an usher, but the pastor gotta do everything, and I don't want nobody else to get up either. Too late. You know what? If I gotta pray, wipe tears, play instruments, I just do that too. I want y'all to understand. Jesus loves us so much. He loves us so much that he'll take his one Sunday that he gets with us. And he'll plead with us to give the yes back to him. Now that's a father. That's a father. He loves us so much that he waited just for today, hoping that you come, hoping that his children would come to his church, his home, just so he could tell you there's so much power in a yes, and if you would just give that yes back to me, you'd be able to be, I apologize, CJ. You'd be able to see yourself in a different way. You'd see your life in a different. It's so simple, but the flesh don't want us to think it's simple. The flesh wants us to think it's so complicated, so we could never see it returning back to what it was. The devil is a liar, and he needs to be reminded of that. You are better than you think. And so your actions, what I need everybody standing to do is just real quick, just say and mean it. I let go of it and I forgive myself. Now, just move on like that's true. Just move on like that's true. Like you have let go and you forgive yourself. Walk as though you're forgiven. Walk as though you let it go. Now, you can't go back now. Can't go back. This is a pivotal Apostle Paul moment. Can't go back. You got to forget those things that are behind. Now it's time to press toward the mark of the high calling. There's a high calling on your life. If it wasn't, God wouldn't have took this Sunday for us. There's a high calling on your life. And we have to act like it, everybody under the sound of my voice. Now, there are people who are sitting that's not standing, and you know this is for you too. But that's the part of free will. You get to sit when you should stand. He loves us so much. This is why I say, you're never going to get everything and everybody. Even those that know this was for them won't say it. But that's the power of free will. That's what I like about it. We have to do something for God in order to get something from God. And some of us, God loves us so much, he know you didn't have the strength to stand up this time. But I pray that it'll be another time that you'll have the strength to stand next time. Because I'm not giving up on anybody that's in the sanctuary. Because you got up, you got dressed, and you came here today. That in itself is a good thing. And I pray that every time you come, you get more strength to stand, to say yes to what needs to be said yes to, and no to the things that said no to, and draw a fine line of the things that pull you to the dark side. Draw a fine line. You know your insecurities. Draw a fine line of the things that you don't have strength yet to be around. People that you don't have strength to be around. Do a fine line. You have to do it. I'm praying for you and with you, but the work has to be done with you. You guys are getting what I'm saying? I've said it for years. You know the people that you said yes and you shouldn't say yes to. You know the things you said yes to you shouldn't say. Now take it back. Change the behaviors. Let's dig in. It's still the year of vision, Breakthrough. There's still a lot to see. But you got to see yourself whole and healed to operate as whole and healed. Amen? Are we getting this? Now, can you that's standing, can you give your own self a clap? Because you did it. You stood. That sounded good. That sounded real good. That wasn't a golf clap that time. That was a real clap. Amen. That made me feel good. You guys can be seated, but before you put your bottom in the seat, know you're sitting down as a different person. A stronger person. A person that's developing some things. And processes are changing. Amen? Okay, you guys can be seated.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.